Hey campers, we are rolling here at Camp One Clap on the One Clap Speech and Debate Podcast. Day 19 has arrived, and with it, a hearty helping of delicious supplemental s'mores around the campfire. I'm your camp director, Lyle Wiley, and today, National Expository finalist and camp counselor Solomon Henderson is here to talk about expository on supplemental s'mores. Remember to check out One Clap socials for today's social media challenge topic. Also, keep studying your ABCs of debate with Professor Graham and Kevin, with daily episodes on YouTube created by the great debate genius and perhaps madman, Adrian Graham. Let's take a moment to learn about Solomon Henderson. Here is Solomon's camp bio. Solomon Henderson is a camp counselor that's ready to help you and some more. Solomon's main event is informative speaking, but he's looking to do so much some more. He likes the some more puns in the future. Solomon is a four-year Cheyenne East High School competitor and a national finalist in expository speaking. He would like to share with you his personal advice in expository speaking. So let's gather around the campfire and sing Kumbaya and try to learn more about expository. All right, friends, let's get out the marshmallows, chocolate, and graham crackers. It's time for some tasty supplemental s'mores with Solomon Henderson. Welcome to One Clap Speech and Debate, Solomon Henderson from Cheyenne East High School. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to talk to you, Solomon. We're doing a Saturday supplemental s'mores episode. We're going to talk about expository, but of course, I've got to get to know you first. And we're here at Camp One Clap. So the first thing I want to ask you, Solomon, is what's your favorite camp activity?
So my favorite camp activity is stargazing. I like looking at the stars.
Hey, that's a very relaxing, nice camp activity. Do you know about constellations and stuff?
I try to pretend to know, you know, so whenever like it's a clear sky, I'd be like, oh, that's the Big Dipper. And somebody would be like, no, that's not. But I like to think I am knowledgeable about constellations.
It's up there somewhere, right? Like the Big Dipper's out there. So
it's out there somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. There are few things as lovely as a really quiet, very dark place where there's no light. And then, you know, millions of stars overhead. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty great feeling. So
it is.
It's a good answer.
Thank you.
Let's find out though about your nerd level. So talking to some of your fellow East competitors and friends, I get this feeling like you're pretty high on the nerd scale, and that's not a bad thing. I mean, I think we embrace our nerdiness in the speech and debate community, but I'd like to hear from you. What do you think on a scale of 1 to 10, how big of a nerd do you think that you are and why?
I originally said 7, but I could be up there to 8 or 8.5. I have nerd stuff on my desk, and other different little things. I have anime swords. They're fake. And I have a lot of manga and comic books. So I guess I am a nerd. I just never really thought I was a nerd.
I see you have an avocado squishmallow back there on your pillow. So that brings the cool level up, I think.
His name is Andreas. He's an avocado. I also have a ramen plush that Sharina gave me.
Ooh, that's... Yeah. Those are premium. Those are premium.
They are.
Yeah.
What's your favorite ramen?
My favorite ramen? Oh my gosh, I'm not going to be able to remember what it's called. It's fancy ramen. It's not like the beef. I mean, I do like the beef ramen. Like that's my favorite flavor of the regular ramen, but I like
beef that, is the best.
That fancy.
If I feel fancy, I tend to put an egg there, you know, poach it, but I don't really do anything fancy with my ramen.
Well, an egg though, just eat it. That takes it to a whole nother level. So
yeah,
mm-hmm. I like the Shin Black non-shim brand, like so good with the beef bone broth.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So when we get together sometime this year, we'll have some of that.
I'll have Robert.
Make sure that we have an overlapping tournament and we can feast on some of that stuff so you can try it. I don't know about an egg. It might be hard to cook an egg at a tournament, but we can figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
So you're a manga guy? Like what comics and manga do you like? What are your favorites?
Ooh, I like JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. I've only had the first two volumes, and then I have the first three volumes of Naruto, and Naruto has just been my favorite anime. I don't know, it talks about, you know, the power of teamwork and love, and it's just good. It's good.
It's very positive stuff.
Yeah.
Do you have any interest in Avatar at all?
Oh my goodness. I love Avatar The Last Airbender with a burning passion. It's so good. And I cry every single time I watch it, especially the Uncle Iroh episode. It's such a good story, and the world building is phenomenal. Like, you get lost in it immediately. Okay. In fact, Sharina started watching Avatar The Last Airbender, and she would text me every like episode about like her thoughts on it, and I thought it was funny.
Yeah, you two should do like an Avatar podcast or something. That'd be hilarious. I'd totally listen
to that. That'd be a good idea. She'd be down to do that too.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I think she'd be game. If you need any resources to get started, let me know. I can help you out. That'd be fun.
Okay.
So you're pretty into manga, anime,
video games.
Video games. What comic books are you into?
So right now I'm starting my collection. So I don't have a lot right now, but I'm collecting the Absolute Carnage Spider-Man. And then I have some of the Batman comic books, and I have, you know, The Last Laugh and stuff like that. Justice
League.
Some
really good ones.
Yeah.
So you're into the superheroes, and you like Marvel and DC, apparently, right?
Yes, I do. I love both of them.
Okay, so you don't have like a ride or die favorite Marvel, DC that you like, if someone puts a gun to your head, DC or Marvel, ooh, which one do you choose?
That's a complicated question. Just because I think DC gets a really bad rap, and I think Marvel is just overpraised. But I think, you know, gun to my head, I like the characters in DC more, but I think Marvel characters are super cool.
Yeah, I really love the world building in the DC, especially the comic books. The comic books are great. Marvel films, they just sort of have this, they have it kind of figured out a little bit more than DC, but, you know, the characters in DC, I mean, of course, Batman, classic.
Nightwing, I think Nightwing is my favorite Batman character.
Nightwing's great, yeah.
And Bloodhaven and the Penguin, yeah, there's just a lot of, I feel like it's more realistic, and that's what makes it more exciting.
Yeah, I agree. Gritty, realistic, kind of feels like the stakes are more like probable or possible. But yeah, no, you're pretty nuanced about this, and it seems like maybe your nerd level might be a little higher than a 7. So that's good. but yeah, nothing wrong with that. No, I think comic books, that's awesome. What kind of video games too, since you mentioned that, what are your games that you're playing?
One game I always will go back to is Skyrim, Elder Scrolls 6, 5? I think it's 6 or 5. I don't know. But I love Skyrim. I play a little bit of Zelda. I love Mario Kart.
Oh, yeah.
Who's your to-go Mario Kart character?
I like that little Toad guy. I'm not really sure why. He's just kind of cute. Yeah. He's not very good. But yeah, those Skyrim games are cool, but gosh, they're like, boy, I don't know. I had to stop playing games like that because of the time suck, you know? It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
You just like walk around in those worlds forever.
Yeah, no, it's actually like infinite. So it is forever. So I do play like Spider-Man. I'm saving up for a PS5, but I just keep spending money, you know? It's hard.
Yep. Believe me, I think we all understand that.
And I used to play Sonic the Hedgehog a lot on my Xbox 360.
That's a classic. Super fun. Well, I mean, I think we could talk video games, manga, comics, anime all day. But yeah. Let's transition into some speech and debate stuff. I am pretty interested to hear about your speech and debate story. So how did you end up getting into speech and debate? And then why'd you stick around? Like, what brought you in? What kept you there?
I don't know where to start. So I originally was I was a freshman, and I originally joined Money 101 instead of speech and debate class. And that was so boring. And, you know, freshman, I was new to Cheyenne. My parents got a divorce. I moved with my dad, and then I moved back to Cheyenne. And so really nothing really motivated me, and I wasn't really in a right state of mind. And so I didn't want to do Money 101. So, there's this like morning TV news thing that we have at our school, and they talked about speech and debate and room 209. So I was like, okay, let's go to room 209. We'll see what happens. So, during passing period or lunch, I don't really remember which, I came over to room 209 and I was greeted by the best coach ever. Sorry, other coaches. Actually, and I saw Mr. Viney, and he was like, hey, how are you? You know, I felt like seen and acknowledged, and I was like, this seems like fun. And I, you know, I was a little, believe it or not, a little bit of like, I was just closeted a little bit. And so I wanted to improve my speech, like my speaking skills. And so I dropped out of Money 101, and I was just waiting for like that to change with my counselor. But I was in my Money 101 class, and Adrian and Jaden Rocaforte come stumbling in, and I'm like, who are these people? And they're like, is there a Solomon Henderson here? I was, what? Is there a Solomon Henderson? I was like, yeah, I'm right here. They're like, grab your stuff. You're coming to speech. I was like, okay. And so I dropped off my stuff in room 209. And the very first thing we did was warm-ups outside of the school. And it was such an odd experience. Because I, you know, warm-ups can be weird. And then we watched a video. And I think it was a humor or a duo. And I haven't felt motivated I felt motivated after watching that and watching speech. And I saw a informative speaking on helium. And that's what made me want to do info. And I guess the rest is history. I joined speech, and I stayed because of my friends, because of the coach, the community, and it's just, you know, it feels good to be around people who will listen to you.
You started as a freshman too, so this is going to be your fourth year competing coming up. How many, like, what events have you competed in over the years?
I dabbled in a couple things. So I did, Congress. I did Congress debate, and that was just not for me. I decided to chair one day, and this was 2020, so everything was online, and I was chairing and my computer shut off. And then I got onto my phone, and then my phone died, and so I went back onto my computer. It was off. It was bad.
So Congress wasn't for you.
Congress was not for me. But I did do drama, and I did drama for, I think it was my junior year, for like a brief second, maybe one or two tournaments. And the thing was, it was good. It was just 5 minutes, so I didn't want to add any more. So I just kind of stopped doing drama. But I'm planning on doing different things in the future.
Your main event, though, is informative.
Yes. Next year, I think my main event is going to be oratory. I'm still going to be doing info, and I want to do humor.
You should definitely do humor. You've got those humor chops, it seems like. So I think you could do really well. But yeah, that's exciting. That's a lot of stuff in the eighth round, but that's exciting.
Yeah, I want to be triple threat. That's my goal for Casper College.
Oh yeah, where they do the three event award, right? Yeah, that'd be pretty exciting. I think we should talk about nationals. So, kind of an amazing year for Wyoming at the national tournament this year in Arizona. Kind of a banner year for Cheyenne East, who has, I mean, Cheyenne East has really performed amazing at nationals in the last 6, 7 years. But this year, an incredible accomplishment of having three people on the expository final stage. And you, Solomon Henderson, were one of the folks on that stage. I want to hear everything about nationals, like that, like what was it like being up on the stage? What was it like advancing that far in the tournament? What was it like having your teammates on the stage for you? Like, tell me a little bit about nationals.
I would like to say I am so freaking proud of my team and what they've done and how far they've gotten, even if they didn't make it to the final stage. Danny for breaking, Sharina for breaking. I'm just incredibly so proud of my team, and I couldn't be here without them. But having like everybody like break, because the first few rounds was so like exciting. It's just like out of this world experience. But man, waiting for postings for nationals
Yeah.
was so hard. So hard. Especially when it's like getting to be quarterfinals, semifinals, final finals.
Yeah.
We'd sit down, refresh tab room. After we all, Josh, Rachel, and I, after we all three saw that we broke, we immediately went down because the people who didn't break were watching like humor, and we went down and we said hi to everybody, but we had to go straight back to the hotel to get some sleep. But this is like a core memory. We were listening to like Hamilton on the ride to food because we're gonna get food, and we went over to Cane's Chicken, and that was the best tasting chicken I've ever had. And then we went to sleep, and then we woke up and we all were ready for nationals. And I was nervous. I get bad nerves, especially big things like that. So we got all mic'd up and everything. In a blink of an eye, I was on the final stage, and I couldn't tell you that I was gonna be on final stage the beginning of my junior year, but it was such an honor to be on final stage and perform about something I really cared about and something I knew other people would also care about. And that's the best part of being on stage, is knowing that everybody gets to hear you.
Yeah, it's so exciting too because those final rounds they're kept for posterity. So your speech is going to be out there, used as an example for years and years to come, which is super exciting. You'll have that opportunity doesn't happen for everybody. That's so cool.
Watching my friends, Rachel and Josh perform was so mesmerizing, just because you've seen them working on their pieces. You know, you've, like, during practices, Josh would be like, haha, wouldn't it be funny if we did, you know, like a dad joke speech because Nationals was around Father's Day. And I was like, that's such a good idea. And now he's up there performing. And I just think that was so cool. And watching Rachel and hearing her like, oh, you know, I'm thinking about doing my expository on musicals, you know, a little unsure about that, you know, about that. And now she's on, you know, final stage with me. And it was just, it was so awesome because you, like, you saw where they were and now where they are. And it's kind of like you're, like, on final stage twice, you know, like, again, twice more. Because just because seeing them perform is an experience for you as well.
Yeah, that was probably a really unique experience and perspective to see two teammates and watch that whole development of the speech and then ponder that development in yourself too. So it's pretty amazing.
I'm just so proud of them. I just love them. And if you guys are listening to this, I love you guys.
Well, they had only bad things to say about you when I interviewed them. So, just be ready for that.
I take that back.
Sorry, pal. So, yeah, in addition to performing and sharing your speech, which we're going to talk about your speech in detail in just a little bit. But in addition to that, you also got to be on the final awards stage, which is a really huge honor. And it's a really large group of people. And I mean, what was that like?
It kind of felt like a dream that you never wanted to wake up from. It, like, you know, going on stage, I didn't care what, you know, well, I mean, I cared a little bit, but what ranking I got, I made it. And I, you know, I'm just ready to celebrate with the team and ready to celebrate with my family when I get home. Being on final stage and having my coaches be there with me was just the proudest moment. It was something off like a movie scene. Really, everything was kind of like in slow motion and I just wanted to soak in the moment. And I'm just glad I had my teammates and my coaches there with me. And that's all I could really ask for.
Well, I mean, congratulations, an incredible accomplishment. And it took a lot of hard work and effort and sweat and tears to get there. So, I mean, you earned all the accolades in the world. I hope everybody is loving you up about it all summer and that, yeah, you can carry some of that momentum into next year and just have an amazing senior season. So yeah, just an incredible accomplishment. Congratulations, Solomon.
Thank you.
I am excited to talk to you about expository because your, I mean, your speech did really well at Nationals, obviously. And, I want to talk about that speech, but you're also just, you're a very good platform speaker in general. And I think that you have some stuff to offer to folks. So let's talk about expository. So your experience in the event, how much have you done expository specifically?
Once. last year in Louisville, I had a oratory written up, but I just didn't feel comfortable performing it because I wasn't completely memorized. And so Viney and I both agreed we should just save that for my info for my junior year. And that did pretty well. So I'm glad I saved that speech and turned it into an info.
So that was your first time doing expository? You're on the national stage with your first ever expository?
I guess so, yeah. I didn't really think of it like that.
Well, I mean, I think that's a really good thing for people to know because the skills that you have as a platformer obviously transfer over to expository a lot. So mm-hmm. I think that gives hope to other people that they wouldn't necessarily have to have done the event to do well. But you're one for one in terms of staging at Nationals with an event. So that's pretty cool. Nice work. So,
thank you.
So tell everybody how Expository works a little bit and how maybe some of those skills transfer over from those platform events.
So Expository is a 5-minute speech on really something you can talk about. It's kind of like if info and oratory kind of had a baby. That's how my coach puts it.
Basically, like, what specific skills do you think there are that you need to really resonate with people in expository?
In expository, you need to have, like, a lot of confidence in yourself and in your speech, because it does show in the room. I heard a lot of expositories during rounds, and one thing that will get you further in expository is to have some sort of connection personally to your topic. For my speech, it was super personal for me, and I had something to connect to it. But a person who may be interested in a topic may do super well, but won't get as far as a person who is personally connected to their speech. It's those little things that can get you even further in competing with expository or oratory or info.
Yeah, let's like dive into your speech topic specifically. So your speech was about adoption, which, I mean, is mm-hmm. It's connected to you personally, but it's also kind of a generalized idea. So how did you take that generalized idea and make it into something that worked well as an expository, that resonated with judges, but then also was something that was specific to your passions, your interests, what you think about your topic?
Adoption is a very broad topic, and there's a lot that I had to like not say about adoption. Mm-hmm. And so I was originally iffy on my topic for my expos just because of that. It's so broad. But one thing you need, like I did to help me focus on what I want to talk about, is something that like is like important to most people, or like what's happening right now. For example, Russia and Ukraine I talk about. And I also talk about same-sex marriages and how, you know, adoption laws, there's been anti-adoption laws for same-sex adopted couples. So I write down 3 or 4 things I want to talk about adoption. So I wanted to talk about same-sex marriages. I wanted to talk about Iraq. I wanted to talk about Ukraine. And I wanted to talk about racial biases. And that, I mean, 4 is kind of pushing it for expos just because it's only 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to captivate a audience for 5 minutes and, you know, not have like just facts for the whole thing. So Viney and I, my coach, we were looking at a different expository speech, and we talked about how like he had some info, but he also had humor to keep people engaged, and that was a lot, that's used a lot in expository if you go back and look at different rounds. But you really want to just briefly inform about the topic or what you want to talk about, because I say, you know, I just talk about the issue. I you know, space it out with a joke or something, and then I do a different statistic or I move into a different thing I want to talk about. And every single speech is supposed to have the 3 H's that my coach told me, and that's heart, hope, and humor. But you can do it, and he said you can use it in different levels, but you are supposed to have all 3. So I have more humor and heart, but really I don't have that much hope. That's funny to say. I have hope, but because like sad but true, adoption, there's not much happening for adoption just because it's not really in the public eye yet. So I say fortunately there's groups like the National Council for Adoption Committee that's pushing politicians to break down barriers and so forth. But really, that's my only line that I really talk about hope, but it's there. I talk about heart a lot. That I think that's my main punch is heart. I talk about my mom, and then I talk about how hard adopting is and what the adopting, like, just like behind the curtain of adoption. So I talked about, you know, like the intelligence, but I had the heart and I had the humor. Because like without any heart or humor or any hope, you're just kind of giving a lecture, not a speech.
Oh, I was just going to say, I do think that too, some of your hope is sort of implicit, right? Like in you giving the speech, there's the hopefulness that folks will take what you talk about and learn mm-hmm. from it, and then maybe it'll enact some level of change, right? So mm-hmm. I think that there's some hope implicit in that too. But yeah, sorry to interrupt.
No, it's totally okay. That reminded me, like when the line in my speech where I say, we all have the opportunity to consider one of the most human actions a person can take. See, that might be a little persuasive, right? But it's not front forward persuasiveness, like we need to adopt or we should. It's just, we all have the opportunity to consider adopting, because there's some kid without a family who could really, you know, need a family. And that's what I'm trying to get out, because I wouldn't be here if I wasn't adopted, and I am grateful every day for it. So if you can write an expository and you can go on and on and on, that's a good topic. You want to be like, oh, there's so much to talk about. What do I do? Because with that, with a lot of content and a lot of that, you can cut down, think of 2 or 3 to 4 things you want to talk about and say it. And it's going to be hard. It's easier said than done, you know, cutting and choosing exactly what you want to talk about. But if you have a topic that, like, you have so much you want to talk about the most important things of that and what personally connects to you to that topic, and go for it. And that's my tip, at least.
I think that's some really good advice. I mean, you want something you care about enough that you can really, you have a lot to say, and you want to say a lot about it. So I think that is really great advice.
Every speech I've written, even my freshman one on adoption, I had a personal connection to it. It's about trash, and it's called Trashy Speech. I thought it was funny. I talk about, like, my hook, even though I'm not, like, completely connected to, you know, trash and where we put our garbage, I used a connection to WALL-E and how that's, like, one of my favorite movies. It doesn't need to be, like, but that speech didn't do so well because I wasn't fully connected to trash. It's interesting, and it's a good topic, I think, at least, but I wish I would have gone to, like, you know, trash being put in impoverished countries and in Africa, you know, that would have been a better take, but I didn't know that, you know. Mm-hmm. Really, that's what I think, like, a great speech is. And if you want to get far, even at nationals, is to have a speech you're personally connected to. If you go up and you look at Josh's or Rachel's speech, they are connected to those speeches. Josh in, you know, dad jokes and how he You know, he's a guy who loves like dad jokes, and he's connected to it with his, because he loves his dad. And Rachel, she loves, she loves Broadway, she loves plays, she was in Shrek the musical. But it's something that like we all have a connection to, and I think that's the most important part of any speech. So step one, find a topic that you're really connected to. Step two, cut down to four or three things you need to say in your speech. And step three, polish it off. Make sure it has the three H's and memorize. Don't be like me and wait.
Do you have a hard time with memorization?
I have an awfully hard time with memorizing anything. I am just awful at it. So I started my expos actually really early. We started in like April. I think it was April. 'Cause like it takes me like a month to memorize completely, and like say in like delivery. Delivery is everything too. You can have a great joke, but you gotta deliver it right, or else it'll come off awkward, or they won't know it's a joke. So really, really memorize the delivery. I had a hard time making eye contact, and so that's one thing I've been practicing on doing better with. But yeah, no, I have a hard time memorizing.
If you have a hard time doing it, but you still are able to do it, do you have like any ideas or like how do you do it? Because I know it's difficult. It comes easier for some people than others, but there are lots of folks that struggle with memorization. Do you have a trick? Do you have a method that you find works?
So for memorizing, I just say my speech a lot, and like so I'll do like paragraph by paragraph. I'll remember one paragraph, or I'll read it over and over and over again, and then I try to say that one paragraph, and then if I say it completely all the way through, and I try to get further without looking, and then I stop where I can't remember, and then I read all of that into the point where I don't remember. Or another thing I like to do is kind of like blocking. Like this is used for like acting, but like different hand positions can help you memorize. So if you're like listing three different things, potato, tomato, and cucumbers, you can point out one object in the room that, 'cause like most speech and debate like rooms are in classrooms, right? So you like would look at the left corner, the right corner, the judge, or you would point at the left corner, point at the judge, point at the right corner. Those are like my two main ways of memorizing. One way that was like I wanted to try memorizing, but my coach said you shouldn't, was memorizing with your VA boards and info. You should memorize first and then say your speech with VAs. Just because, like, if something goes wrong with your VAs, that could mess up your memorizing.
Yeah, for sure. And I think VAs are really important, of course, and informative, but they're also, they should be like supplementing slash adding to your speech and not be the focal point. And I think that if you work in your memorization in that way, could possibly make the VAs feel too important or like take too important a spot in your speech.
Yeah, and that's one thing I'm not a big fan of info for is the VAs really. The VAs, I think, especially for judges that don't know speech and debate, are like their main focus. And I mean, luckily I got through. I'm a two-time national finalist and informative with only three boards for each one. One was my space speech. I don't know if you heard that one, but I had three boards and that was it. And I think that was it's just like boards are expensive, and getting a VA case and a stand that, like, some schools can't afford. And that's just like what bothers me about info, is because You don't even need to have a VA to compete, but you'll get marked for. I've been marked for my boards, and saying like, you know, it's a little unprofessional, or, you know, I wish this would be like that. And I was like, well, how's the quality of my speech? And they're like, oh, that's good. And I'm like, okay, thank you. And I think that's something the NSDA needs to fix, because you like somebody could have like the fanciest board, but like a very basic speech and get pretty far, which isn't fair for somebody who can't afford boards and, you know, printed pictures that can be really pricey.
I mean, you're saying things that I've been saying for a couple of years. I totally agree. Like, NSDA is committed to try to be, you know, to push equality and equity, and that's like a problem with the VAs, I think.
That's one thing that bothers me about InFels.
But another reason why expository is pretty great, because expository,
no props.
Yeah, no props. No. Definitely can be a lot like an informative. And yeah, you don't have to worry about that aspect.
But like I said this before, but in expository, you do have one VA, and that's your body. Mm-hmm. Use it. You can hook a whole audience by just dancing and singing It's a Hard Knock Life. Yeah, no, you can go big. I really want to see more speeches where people do go big and try something new. And I don't have to constantly, you know, like hear kind of the same thing, but different format or different font. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's room for creativity, right? We got to encourage people to be creative.
I love creative speeches. And if yours is creative, that's like something that can catch a judge's eye for sure. You know, if you try something new, I know it might be like scary or, you know, what if the judges don't like it? I was like that when I was singing to Viney. I really wanted to cut out the singing. And he's like, no, do it. It's like, okay. But he's like, if you're going to do it, you have to do it. And I'm like, I understand. So that's one thing, is that like, if you are going to do something new or unique, you got to do it 100%.
Definitely. Great advice. And I think, yeah, I mean, you know, that's part of what makes speech and debate fun and exciting, is like the creative impulse, the ability to lose yourself in something, to spread a message that you care about. So that's really good advice. Is there anything else you want to add about expository at all before we kind of like generalize about speech and debate?
Expository is an event for anybody. So if you're doing poi, drama, if you're doing debate, it's something anybody can do. And I encourage people to do it, because it's really fun. It's a short 5-minute speech. Rounds are like 45 minutes, which is amazing. And I just think expository is a great event, and I really hope it becomes more popular and maybe possibly become a main event. Who knows?
I am with you 2,000%. I think like expository would be an amazing event for newish kind of competitors. I love the short format. I feel like we need more events for folks that, you know,
are trying to dip their toes in. Yeah,
exactly. Just a little bit less pressure, a little bit more like fun, just a little bit less memorization. Just, you know, the stuff that just could just give folks just a little bit less to prepare. I do think that matters, like for some folks. So I want to hear from you. Like, what do you think, being a part of this community and stuff, what so far, what has been like the best part of speech and debate for you?
Oh, I think my friends, like my best friends are in speech and debate, and the opportunity to make new friends and to connect with people who you might not even know, but like, once you like have a round with them, you guys are like friends now. I just like how friendly everybody is, and I like how we want each other to get better, and there's never like any, you know, like I don't think I've ever hated anybody. You know, I've never had a nemesis. Maybe Ella Goodman. She might be my nemesis. Don't tell her that, though.
Yeah, everybody I've talked to is in love with you. So I think you have a pretty strong friend community with your team and throughout the state, really, really respected by coaches and competitors all over the state. It is amazing.
Thank you.
It's amazing how we can build community in speech and debate competitions with all the competition that we do. And it's really cool.
If you look at different like clubs, sports, they're always very like they don't really like each other. Because like for example, our football team, Cheyenne East football team, if we go against like South or, you know, Central, we're not like buddy buddy friends with them. But if we go over to South is like our best friends. I think we had like a practice together one day. It was really nice. I just like how like we can share information and we're trying to get people to be better than they were before. And not only by speaking, you're better than you're before, but like than you are before, but as a person as well. Joining speech, I was not like okay, but now I'm doing a lot better than I was. And that's because of speech and because of the community that was willing to take me in, even though I had zero experience. That didn't matter, you know?
I think, you know, of course, we're all competitive. People still want to win. Folks want to get trophies.
Oh, yeah.
Teams want to win. But I really do think that it does trump the winning, the impulse to just get the opportunity to help students improve, to help students get skills, to help students share their voice, to help them understand that they're important and loved and cared about. All those things are mm-hmm. so much more important than a trophy.
And yeah, a trophy that'll gather dust one day.
It's true. Although, you know, that they are still pretty nice too.
Oh, they are amazing. The first ever trophy I got, I sat on it, broke. And we had to super glue it together, but pretty nice. Tiger Classic.
Rock Springs. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sat on it by accident during awards. It's like, what was that? And then you do not want to sit on a Nationals trophy, though.
No, that would do some damage.
Yeah.
You wouldn't break it. It might break you.
Exactly. Exactly.
So tell me about what's next for you on your speech debate journey. You're going to be a senior this year. What are you looking forward to? I know you're going to do some humor. That'll be new for you, but what else are you looking forward to with this season?
I'm looking forward. Yeah. Humor and oratory is like one I've always wanted to try, but I just never really got to do it. So I'm excited to compete in oratory for the most part. And if I want to qualify for Nationals in oratory. And I'm looking forward to hopefully going to my last national tournament. And I'm looking forward to just have like my last speech and debate season. Just spending time with my friends. I guess hopefully I'm thinking about trying to do speech in college. I don't know where yet, but that's my goal.
Awesome. Well, I'm sure it's going to be an amazing year. You have so many awesome co-competitors, folks on your team, coaches. You're going to have a great year. But before I let you leave, I have to hear from you about like maybe the most important thing that I talk to people about on this podcast, and that's snacks. Like tournaments are long. They can get kind of like hard on the old body. You got to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. It can be difficult to you know, find time to eat and stuff. But for you, like, what's your go-to speech and debate snack?
It's a good question. I really don't eat snacks very often during competition because I just get nervous. But I'll do eat like Lay's chips or some kind of chips. But whatever you do, don't eat the spicy pickle. Do not eat the spicy pickle.
Spicy pickle chips or just spicy pickles in general?
Oh, you don't know. So last year, there's this challenge called the Spicy Gherkin Challenge. And have you watched Hot Ones?
Yes.
Do you know the hot sauce, the bomb?
Yeah.
So you get that, you mix it with pickle juice, and you also like get the pickle juice all around the pickle. And the challenge is you eat the whole pickle and you drink the juice.
Oof.
I did this.
At a tournament?
I thought it was like, it was the Rock Springs, I think it was Rock Springs tournament. And it was like, I think 30 minutes before a round. And I was like, you know what? Let's do it. So I was like, give me the pickle. And they're like, okay. So I ate it, right? And it wasn't spicy. Because like my technique was to just swallow it. Don't taste it. Just eat it, you know? And in a second, my stomach started boiling, like burning. And so like I was like, I don't feel so good. So I ran over, like I needed to throw this up out of my body. So I ran over to the bathroom, but it was the wrong bathroom. It was the girls' bathroom. And I was like, uh-oh. So I ran out. I couldn't find the boys' bathroom. Turned out the boys' bathroom was right next to the guys' bathroom. And there was a giant dumpster. Not a giant dumpster. Like a big garbage can. It was like right next to the cafeteria. And I just threw up. Like my friends were recording me and laughing at me, of course. And then my coach was not happy about that. She asked Viney about the pickle incident, but I won a shirt, so that was good.
Well, they, congratulations on the shirt, I guess.
Thank you. And I had to perform right after that.
So your advice, though, specifically on the snack is basically like,
don't eat the spicy pickle. The shirt is not worth it.
It's definitely not something I'm going to be trying at a tournament anytime. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah. Thank you so much for hopping on the podcast, Solomon, and taking some time to talk to me and giving us some advice about expository. Congratulations again on your season.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. Incredible accomplishment at Nationals. And I just can't wait to see what you do this year.
Thank you.
Thanks so much to camp counselor Solomon Henderson for sharing some tasty expository tips here at Camp One Clap. It was a joy to talk to Solomon, and I'm sure he'll continue to be a powerful voice at Cheyenne East this season. So what's on the camp agenda for tomorrow? Well, counselor Izzy Garcia's Interp Survival Guide will drop episode 3 of a 4-part series. Also, counselor Adrian Graham will release Into the Lucky Cosmos, yet another hype episode of Professor Graham and Kevin's ABCs of Debate on YouTube. Remember, social media challenges are live for every day of camp this August. And some good news before I leave you for today, campers. I just got over my addiction to chocolate, marshmallows, and nuts. But if I'm honest, it was a rocky road. For Camp One Clap, this is Camp Director Wiley, signing off.